And so you have Pharaoh, and you have all the plagues that have taken place. And the last plague was that the firstborn would die. Every firstborn tonight would die. But there was a redeemer. There was a way to be redeemed, a way to be preserved. The Jews could be preserved by the plague of death. That if you take a hyssop branch, dip it in the blood of a lamb, and go around your doorpost, that as the death angel came past, it would not stop in, but literally pass by. It would pass over your home. Because of the death of Jesus Christ, the faith that we have in Him, we are able to pass over from death to life. Now, as we talk today, I'm just going to keep things simple and refer to healings of the healings are kind of, you can put in two categories. One is like a physical one, because humans are made up of body, soul, and spirit, right? Everybody's spirit goes on forever and ever. It just either goes on forever and ever in eternal life with Christ, or forever and ever in eternal damnation in the abyss. And we, as human beings, have a choice to choose life or death. And so that is of the spirit. But so you could kind of say, and keep it real simple, I need a physical healing, or I need a body, soul, spirit. Spirit's over here. Soul, mind, will, and emotions. Something has happened to my emotions, my mind, and has triggered through. And I often refer to relationships because that's an easy example. Something has happened to create pain in me emotionally. Does that make sense? So bodily or soul? In your emotions. So the Feast of Passover is linked to the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And it commemorates, this all started because remember they were eventually led out of slavery. Okay? And after 400 years of slavery, they did a celebration. The celebration was called the Passover because the lamb, the blood, the hyssop, had passed over death. And so God said, don't you ever forget this. Celebrate this the rest of your life. And it was called the Passover, which is connected to unleavened bread. The unleavened bread means that there was no yeast in the bread. Why was there no yeast in their bread? Probably more than likely and truly, when you're released from 400 years of freedom, and you got some bread laid out, you ain't put no yeast in it because you're grabbing everything you got and you're running. And the bread became unleavened, no yeast. Now you can go into the spiritual content of sin and no sin and different things like that, but unleavened bread. So independence is freedom, right? Freedom from being governed by another country. So it's almost like at this 400 years of freedom, they had an independence to break free. But it's during the Passover now that we celebrate this. Communion comes from the Feast of Unleavened Bread and the Passover from this great deliverance of death to eternal life. Now, this is an eight-day feast, the Feast of Passover, the Passover feast. And the whole feast is kicked off with a great big celebration meal, and that is called the Passover meal. Okay? So, as we look into the Scripture today, let's now transition our minds, and very, very briefly, you can get into all kinds of studies about all of that. But let's jump over now into the New Testament, a new covenant, a new promise, and think about communion. We're doing this in remembrance. It was a time in the Scripture with the Passover meal where it was a meal where they all came together to gather together in unity. It is a meal of unity. We're all gathered together here today in unity because we love Jesus. We have a common union. Communion, common union. There's a common union with us here today. Communion. That we all love Jesus and we're all gathered together here. We are proclaiming, and it's a symbol of believers to anticipate Jesus' return when all the promises come fulfilled. Now, in 1 Corinthians 10, it says, when we pray for the blessing of the communion cup, isn't this, praying for the communion cup, our co-participation with the blood of Christ? And the bread that we distribute, isn't this the bread of our participation, co-participation with the body of Christ? For although we are many, we become one loaf, one bread, one body as we fellowship together in unity. And so it's the presence of the blood of Jesus, and it is the presence of the body of the Messiah that we are recognizing through this. Now, life's not imparted inside of me just by having an emblem in my hand and taking part of it, but again, it is a common union that we participate in through the reality and the substance of the blood and the body of our Lord. The wine of the Lord's Supper depicts the giving of life. It's a sacrifice of blood, which inaugurates a new covenant, a new testament for those who respond to Jesus' offer of salvation. Now, Hebrews 8, we read that if the first covenant had been faultless, there would have been no need for a second covenant to replace it. But when God found fault with the people, he said, "The day is coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant, a new testament, a new promise with the people of Israel and Judah. And this covenant will not be like the one I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand and led them out of Egypt." Now in Hebrews 9, I want to read quite a few scriptures only because the Bible is great and it just explains things, and I'm not going to just, let's just read Hebrews chapter 9 together. Starting with verse 11, that Christ is the perfect sacrifice. Hebrews 9, 11. "Christ has now become the high priest over all the good things that have come. He has entered that greater, more perfect tabernacle in heaven, which was not made by human hands and is not part of the created world. With his own blood, not the blood of goats and calves anymore, he entered the most holy place once for all time and secured our redemption forever. Now, under the old system, the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a young cow could cleanse people's bodies from ceremonial impurity. Just think how much more now the blood of Jesus Christ purifies our consciences from sinful deeds. Why? So that we can worship the living God. Because by the power of the eternal Spirit, Christ offered himself to God as a perfect sacrifice for our sins. And this is why he is the one who mediates a new covenant between God and people, so that all who are called and receive the eternal inheritance that God has promised for them. For God has died to set them free from the penalty of the sins they had committed under the first covenant. Now, when someone leaves a will," this is kind of fun to read, "it is necessary to prove that the person who made it is dead. The will goes into effect only after that person's death. While the person who made it is still alive, the will cannot be put into effect. This is why the first covenant was put into effect with the blood of an animal, because after Moses had read each of God's commands to all the people, he took the blood of calves and goats along with the water, sprinkled both on the book of the law all the people were using with the hyssop branch and the scarlet wool. And then he said, 'This blood confirms the covenant that God has made with you.'" Old Testament. "And in the same way, he sprinkled the blood on the tabernacle and everything used for worship. In fact, according to the law of Moses, nearly everything was purified with blood, for without the shedding of blood, there was no forgiveness. This is why the tabernacle and everything in it, which are copies of things in heaven, had to be purified by the blood of animals. But the real things in heaven had to be purified with a far greater sacrifice than the blood of an animal. Because Christ did not enter into a holy place made with human hands, which was only a copy of the true one in heaven, he entered into heaven itself to appear now before God on my behalf." He's on the right hand of the Father, place of authority on your behalf. "He did not enter to offer himself again and again like the high priest were on here on earth, who enters the most holy place year after year, blood of an animal. If that had been necessary, Christ would have died again and again ever since the world began. But now, once and for all, he has appeared at the end of the age to remove sin by his own death as a sacrifice. Just as each person is destined to die once, and after that comes judgment, so also Christ died once for all time as a sacrifice to take away the sins of many people. Jesus is going to come again, not to deal with our sins or create or provide a way for us to be forgiven of our sins, but he's coming the second time to fulfill and to bring salvation to everyone who is eagerly waiting for Jesus Christ." It's Isn't that beautiful? He's going to come a second time to bring about salvation and to take us to live eternity with him. Now, you're already saved. You're not waiting for the saving. You're saved. But we're all working to the day of death to receive the salvation. So now go with me in Matthew 26. And let's look at the writing of the Last Supper. We'll look at Matthew's writing of the Last Supper. On the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, remember this is an 8-day festival, I'm in Matthew 26 at verse 17. The disciples said, "Where do you want us to prepare the Passover meal for you?" And Jesus said, "As you go into the city," he told them, "you will see a certain man," or actually you can translate that a so-and-so. You ever call somebody a so-and-so because you don't know their name? Hey, so-and-so, so-and-so, that's actually what that means in the original Greek. You're going to come upon a so-and-so, certain man, some dude, you're going to come upon. Tell him, Jesus says, tell him the teacher says that my time has come and I will eat the Passover meal with my disciples at your house. So the disciples did as Jesus told them and prepared the Passover meal there. Now, I love the recording of Mark because Mark says that you're going to go into Jerusalem. What's happening right now? This is the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Passover. How many people were in Jerusalem? Hundreds of thousands, probably millions. And you're telling me, go find so-and-so and tell him the teacher sent me. Who is so-and-so and how do I find him? Mark says he's going to be carrying a pitcher of water. So, culturally, men didn't carry water. Cool. Isn't Jesus awesome? You're going to know this guy because he's going to be an oddball. He's a male carrying water. That's the so-and-so you talk to. What miraculous. I mean, this is just about 24, 48 hours before Jesus is going to be crucified. The miracles that start to take place here prophetically. Jesus saying things that he shouldn't know. And the disciples going and seeing them are absolutely phenomenal. Not only that, but when that guy leads you to the house that he's going to, then the guy that's there, you say to him, hey, the teacher's ready for his room. Listen, folks, there is no room in the inn. There is no room available. It is the Passover. Everything is booked. But this guy is going to have a room available for you. Follow the guy with the water jug. Go to him. Say, the teacher sent me. We're ready for our room. And then go provide a Passover meal. I'll be coming. We can just go home right there. Isn't that? I mean, that's the miraculous works of Jesus Christ. Phenomenal. Just phenomenal. So that's everything that's taking place just in those couple things. So Jesus, the disciples did as Jesus told them, and they went and they prepared the Passover meal. Now when it was evening, Jesus came. He sat down at the table with the 12 disciples, and while they were eating, he says, I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me. Listen, they don't know what communion is yet. They don't know anything. They're just having a Passover meal. Jesus has given certain things about, I'm going to be crucified, I'm going to die, I'm going to come back. Huh? Where? Who? What do you say? You're not going to leave anywhere, God. You're not going unless I'm going with you. You know all that stuff that's taking place. They're just coming together for a good old meal. The boys are hanging out tonight eating some good grub. And Jesus comes in and says, hey, by the way, one of you, yeah, that's right, one of you 12 are going to betray me and deny me. Awkward, right? Not why I came tonight. Came for some good eating, some Passover. Greatly distressed, everybody said, Lord, am I the one? Oh, my goodness. Is it me? Is it me? And Jesus replied, one of you who's just eaten from this bowl with me will betray me. And I can't get into all that, but it's a part of relationship with the bowl, the dipping of your bread. For the Son of Man must die, as the Scriptures declared long ago. But how terrible it will be for this one who betrays him. It will be far better for that man if he had never been born. Judas, the one who would betray him, said, Rabbi, am I the one? And Jesus, you said it, bro. Verse 26, and they were eating. Jesus took some bread and blessed it. And he broke to pieces and he gave it to the disciples, saying, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup of wine. He gave thanks to God for it. And he gave it to them, saying, listen, each of you drink from this, for this is my blood, which confirms the covenant between God and his people. It is poured out as a sacrifice to forgive the sins of many. Mark my words, guys. It will not I will not drink wine again until the day I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And then they sang a hymn and went out to the Mount of Olives. This is all blowing their minds. First of all, we did all this. We had some supernatural work. We sat down to have a fantastic feast. And then Jesus says, when are you going to betray me? Now we knew who that is. And then you're taking bread, you're breaking it, saying, this is my body, and this is my blood, drink it? What? Huh? What's happening? And then they sang a hymn, and they went out to the Mount of Olives. In 2 Corinthians 5, God made him who had no sin to be a sin offering for us. Why? So that in him we might become the righteousness of God. We know that in Isaiah 53, it says that Jesus was smitten by God. Jesus was afflicted by God. Jesus was wounded. He was pierced for my transgressions, for my sins. He was bruised. He was crushed for my iniquities. The chastisement, the punishment was upon him for me to have peace. And by his stripes, by his wounds, by the blows and the cuts that he received, we are healed. We are healed. Now jump with me back to 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we have the writing of Paul to the church of Corinthians. And this is a messed up church. They are receiving this letter from Paul because they are a messed up gathering. Okay? They are rivaling against one another. They're having incest. There's immorality. They're suing one another. They're misworking the spiritual gifts. They're in disorderly conduct. And they're mishandling communion. And Paul writes them this letter. I mean, just walk through 1 Corinthians, and it creates a lot of guidelines, order in the church. And he comes to the place of communion in 1 Corinthians 11, starting at verse 17. He says that this is order about when you're going to come together and partake of the Lord's Supper. But in the following instructions, it cannot praise you guys. A letter to the church. It sounds as if more harm than good is being done when you guys get together. First of all, I'm hearing that there is division among you guys. When you meet together at church, and to some extent, there's division among you. He says, I believe it. But of course, there must be division among you so that you have God's approval to be recognized. But when you meet together, you're not really even interested in the Lord's Supper. When you guys get together for this Passover feast, and when you get together for this communion, your focal is off, folks. He says, some of you, you come and you just eat your own meal without sharing with others. And as a result, some don't even get any food to eat. And they leave this whole ceremonial festival hungry while others are getting drunk. What? Don't you have your own house to eat and do all that stuff with? Or do you really want to disgrace God's church and shame the poor? What am I supposed to say? Do you want me to praise you, Peter Paul says? I certainly can't praise you for this. No way. Listen, for I'm going to pass on to you what I received, Paul says, from the Lord himself. On that night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread. He gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it into pieces and he said, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And then in the same way, he took a cup of wine after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant between God and his people. In agreement confirmed with my blood, do this to remember me as oft as you drink it. Let me pause. A lot of people say you can get drunk as a Christian. Jesus did. Oh my gosh. No. Fresh wine. It was like water, grapes. Like, don't get excited and give yourself an excuse to get drunk, okay? I'm just throwing that out there for all of you. I'm not judging. And when I said earlier about buying tobacco, I'm not judging you. You have your relationship with Christ. Work it and work it well. And every single day, become more like Jesus and press into the cross. I'm not judging anybody, okay? But just understand, a lot of people take the scripture to fit their lives, not make their lives fit the scripture. That's just a little side note from my soapbox. Let's go back to communion, okay? You know, people are always just like, they use everything as a, this fits my life. See, I can show you right here. Anyhow, where were we? 27. This is important. Anyone who eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord unworthy is guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. This is why you should examine yourself before eating the bread and drinking the cup, because if you eat the bread or drink the cup without honoring the body of Christ, you're eating and drinking God's judgment upon yourself. And by the way, folks, this is why many of you are weak. This is why many of you are sick, and some of you have even died because of this. But if we were to examine ourselves, we would not be judged by God in this way. Yet when we are judged by the Lord, we are being discipled so that we will not be condemned along with this world. So my dear brothers and sisters, when you gather together for the Lord's Supper, for heaven's sakes, wait on one another. And if you're super hungry, why didn't you eat before you came? So you could share with some of those other folks that there don't have as much food as you do. Quit bringing judgment upon yourself. I will give you instructions about the other matters when I arrive, because we have so much to talk about, folks. That's just what he's saying, okay? So when you eat this bread, and every Sunday you guys come to church, I hope you leave lighter than what you came in. I hope you leave here after being in worship and hearing the Word of God, you're understanding the Word better. So many people carry so many burdensome things from them because of their lack of understanding of the scripture and really who Jesus is. So many people think that they're sick because they took communion wrong or this or that. Let's look at this for a couple minutes, okay? Let's just look at what the Word really truly says here. Whenever you eat this bread and when you drink this cup in verse 26, you're retelling the story, you're proclaiming of the Lord's death. And do this until he comes back the second time, bringing salvation, taking you to heaven with him. And for this reason, whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord with the wrong spirit will be guilty of dishonoring the body and the blood of the Lord. So before you do this, it's a good idea to be an individual and evaluate your stinking attitude. Or is it not stinking? What's your attitude? Now, we don't have an issue of coming in here and eating too much and getting drunk because we're just passing out a cracker and a juice cup, right? So kind of all that's been taken from us. We don't have to worry about that part. But this other part is huge, huge. Evaluate your attitude and then drink and eat the cup. For continually eating and drinking with the wrong spirit brings judgment upon yourself by not recognizing the body. And what they're saying is that's irreverent. That's unworthily. Some manuscripts actually say that this can be understood in two different ways, in referring to Christ's body as a sacrifice, or even we can call it the church body. Okay? We won't get into all that. But to properly discern the Lord's body, which was beaten and bruised for my healing, would mean that the weak or the sick don't die prematurely. This is insensitivity. And that's why many of you are weak and chronically ill, and some of you have even died. If we examine ourselves, then we shouldn't be judged. But when we are judged, it is the Lord's training so that we will not be condemned along with the world. In verse 29, the NIV says, "For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment upon themselves." Those who eat and drink without making a distinction and a separation in their mind, not believing, asking, and expecting God to heal me. We approach with the wrong attitude and the wrong spirit because when we partake and remember what Jesus Christ has done, there's an opportunity. There is an opportunity for you just to simply ask, "Lord, heal me." It's my mind and it's my attitude and it's my belief. I can either come in and partake and leave and just, okay, I had communion this quarter, this month, this day, whatever it is. Or I can come in expectation, believing in the power of the Word of God, saying that, God, you said in your Scripture that you were bruised, beaten for my healing. So as a church, as we gather together, and this is so simple, if we take just a moment, 60 seconds, 90 seconds, as part of communion, and we pause and we say, Lord, we are doing as your Scripture said, we are in remembrance, we're remembering, we're partaking. But during this time, I want you to give me a healing because I have a need. And I believe, I trust, I have faith that you're going to heal me because you said as I do this, you have a healing available for me. I also believe, and I can get a whole other thing going on this, salvation is available too. Because the blood, the body and the blood, the washing, the cleansing, the body, it's just simply in my mind. Could I position myself? Could the church as a common union, in unity, pause and say, God, we are recognizing the Passover, the unleavened bread. We have a silly little cup and a silly little cracker, but it is to remember. It is to stop and to take my place to myself to the cross and say, Jesus, you see my body. You see this tent. You see what's happened. You see what's failing. I'm coming to you, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, to just simply ask, because you said that I could, will you please heal me of this? I believe supernaturally. Weird stuff? No. I believe God can tell you to go find some so-and-so with a pitcher of water amongst hundreds of thousands, and you can do that because he said it. Just like he said, listen, on this earth there's going to be sickness and pain and hurt. I have hope for you, Jesus said, because of the cross, the redemption, the independence, the freedom, the unity in the body of Christ for you to receive as you journey through until I return to bring you full salvation and take you into eternity with me where there's no sickness, no crying. What I want to do this morning is we're going to partake of communion, okay? And we're just simply going to read the couple verses that we read in 1 Corinthians 11. We're going to partake of communion. Todd is going to pray over the blood. Paul is going to pray over the body. And then I'm just believing for a healing for each and every one of you that have that. And I said earlier, body or soul. And we're saying emotions, mind, relationship, hurt or pain or just loneliness. What is it? I don't know. Jesus knows. We're not going to ask you what your sickness is. All we want you to do is eventually, and don't sweat it, is raise your hand. Paul is then going to pray church-wide, and then a few of the other believers around us are just going to put our hands on you and believe for what you're believing for as a brother and sister in Christ in unity. Very, very simple. Does that make sense? Can you believe with me today? Can you trust and can you hope and can you have faith? Listen, I cannot understand why God heals some and not the others. I don't know, I'm not God, but what I do know and do understand is in the Scripture, he demands of us to ask of him. It's a demand. He says, children, ask me. Just ask me. When you open yourself up and ask me, then I can pour into you. He doesn't beat salvation into people. He doesn't beat healing into people. He says, ask me. Ask forgiveness. Believe and ask forgiveness. Eternal life. Believe and ask for healing. Healing. He just wants us to ask. How many of your parents in love when their children come to them, especially at a younger age when they're in more need, and they just want something from you? Can I have a cookie? Mommy, what's to eat? Daddy, can you take me here? Can you get my bicycle? Can you pump? That's such a great feeling because they asked daddy or mommy for something. You know, the Bible says you don't hand them a serpent, a, right, a snake or a scorpion in place of the bread they asked for. No. And your loving Heavenly Father will respond to you with His compassion and with His love. So I asked two guys to help us serve communion, and that's Marcus and Braden. You guys can go ahead with the bread and pass out the bread. And listen, if anybody wants a sealed container, I respect you 100%. I'm not a germaphobe, I'm a germaware. My wife calls me a germaphobe. I'm not. I just, like, I wash my hands and don't, you know, rub my eyes. And I'm aware that I just shook 14 hands, so I wash my hands. I'm just no germaware. If you like a sealed cup, I said, I'll have to say this. If you want a sealed cup, there's one in there for you, and that's fantastic. So as we stay in this moment, as we stay in this place, and the guys are going to distribute the bread and then the cup to you, and Paul and Todd, once you guys receive your elements, if you won't come forward too. The gift of God's Son, Jesus dying on the cross, proclaiming His death until He comes back, being mindful of the one that's right here amongst us. His presence is still here very strong. He's around us and He's in us. There's a uniqueness when the body of Christ gathers together in common union, in communion. Hey guys, I'm sorry I didn't say this, but you might want to go to the nursery. When you're done here, go ahead and grab and go to the nursery and see if there's anybody back there that wants to partake as well, because they have speakers back there. Something unique happens when a group of people gather together in common union, in communion, being reminded of the commonality and the union that we have in one faith, one Lord, one baptism, one cup, one body of Christ, and gathered together as a church, the body of Christ. Thanks, Doug. Father, we thank You for Your presence that's here with us. Father, we thank You for revealing the simplicity of Your Word to us, Father, as we begin to think and to reflect on these things, Jesus. We often refer to that scripture in Isaiah, and I already read it, but Jesus was smitten, He was beaten by God. Once and for all, we read in Hebrews, just once. Thank God, we don't have to sacrifice animals. Here, I'll better grab some, but thank you, sir. They got it, and Marcus got them, so just yourself. You good, Tyler? You got it. Jesus was smitten by God and afflicted. He was wounded and pierced for my transgressions, for my mess-ups. He was bruised and crushed for my iniquities. The chastisement, the punishment of our lives was upon Him so that I could receive a peace. And by His stripes, by His wounds, the blows and the stripes that they ripped, it was a whip that had bones in it, and when they hit, they embedded and then they ripped it through His body. The Passion does a fantastic job of pulling out literally the scene that's taking place. And so I always like to take of the bread first, because He had to be an ultimate sacrifice of giving Himself willingly to buy us back and be that atonement for us. Father, we thank You. Just expecting, Lord, here as we take these couple moments and recognize and remember, Lord, what great things you've already done but are continuing to do in our lives, Jesus.
Father God, we just thank you. As we come and we remember, Lord, we remember the stripes that you bore and your body that was broken. For by the stripes of Jesus, we have been healed. Lord, we receive by faith. We reach out by faith and receive in remembrance all that you have done for us. Lord, that are in our mind, our emotions, every healing that we need in our body, we receive that now as we remember your broken body in the name of Jesus.
Peter said, "For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself." And on that night when he was betrayed, the Lord took some bread. He gave thanks to God for it. He broke it and he said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Take part of your bread.
Lord, we can't thank you enough for shedding your blood for us. So many things that go through our minds and our body, and just the gift that that you were. Thank you so much for every ounce. Thank you so much for every, well, thank you for the tears. It was so real, and sometimes that's lost in today's society. But can't thank you enough, Lord.
In the same way, Jesus took the cup of wine after supper and he said, "This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this to remember me as oft as you will drink it. For every time you eat and drink this bread, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes." And that's partake. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Father, as we pause here just for a moment, if you're here with us today, I just want you to raise your hand if you have some kind of sickness that you want us to believe in. And I said that's bodily. It's also of your soul, your mind, will, and emotions. Okay, I'm going to call a couple out. I don't think I'm going to embarrass anybody, but Mark's wife, Karen, is deathly ill. She needs a supernatural touch of God if she's going to live. This is the end of her life. If God doesn't supernaturally, will he? I don't know, but we're going to ask him. So Mark is right here in the blue shirt. If a couple of you guys or anybody around, just lay your hands on his shoulder. And Paul's going to lead in prayer so you don't have to feel like you have to say anything out loud. Who else? Kayla, I'm going to call you out. You have a knee issue, I think, now, right? A believer for just a supernatural fast healing. And Kayla, right over here with her knee. Can somebody grab, Marcus, can you grab Mallory? Mallory's having some stomach issues. I don't know. She's been in the emergency room. I knew nothing medical. I'm stupid when it comes to medically, okay? And I don't know if somebody needs to relieve or catch a kid there for her so she can come in here and we can pray for her. Who else? I don't know all the needs. Help me help you. Help me. And listen, I'm just saying a couple. It doesn't have to be in your body. It can be like, I'm just lonely. I just want a special touch from the Lord this morning. That's okay. Anybody else that we can put our hand on your shoulder? Don't be shy. Don't be shy. Yes, over here. Actually, my mother, if somebody can come. I like ladies to be with ladies, but it doesn't have to be. Anybody can do it. Yeah, I mean, just somebody put your hand on her shoulder. Who else? Just raise your hand. Over here we have Susan. Somebody needs to join together with Susan. Right there, those of you around here, put your hand on her shoulder. Somebody come, May, can you come forward and put your hand on Mallory's shoulder there and join together with Marcus. Who else? This is just simple. This is a 60 to 90 second prayer that Paul's going to lead us in, that we're saying, God, we recognize communion, We recognize the power of your blood in the bread, and we're simply asking, Jesus, do something, because we've done, what is supernatural? We've done all we can do, and we can do no more. You need to intervene. Supernatural, that's all it is. Nothing sideways, no circus. It's just something, God, that we've done everything we know to do. And we need you to join in. Anybody else? Don't want to miss anybody. Hallelujah. Paul, you go ahead and just lead us. Father, we're just coming before you today in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come before you.
Yes,
for we have
Jesus.
A right to come before you boldly. And we come into your presence boldly.
Yes,
and
Father.
We ask you to meet the needs of the people
Jesus.
Here today. It don't matter how sick they are or what their
Hallelujah.
Need is. You are more than possible to
yes,
do this
Lord.
Thing. For you have paid the price, Jesus. You have shed your blood and your body was beaten. And we receive everything that you have to
Jesus.
Offer. We receive healing into our bodies now. We reach out from your table that you've set before us, and
Jesus.
We take from my faith
yes, Lord.
What we need. We receive now into our bodies what you have to offer, and now I rejoice
yes.
and I praise you, for
yes.
you are our healer and our deliverer.
Yes.
I rejoice in the good report. I rejoice in what you are doing. I cannot wait to hear the report,
Jesus.
The testimony of what you've done today. No matter how big or how small, you are the God, the Creator, our loving Father. And we just receive now, by faith, what you have said you would do, that you will do it. Lord, I thank you and I praise you. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Just as Paul said, thank you, Father, in advance. Thank you for what you've already done. Thank you for the healing that you have paid the price for. When you go home this afternoon, get into the Word, sing a psalm, read a psalm, right? And give the Lord thanks. Thanks in advance to continue to grow your faith and to press into Him. Pray the Lord bless you and keep you, His face shine upon you, give you peace, and may His favor rest upon you. God bless you. Have a great 4th of July weekend. Thank you for being here today.